am Lath Harlow.
I'm Tristan Harlow.
And I'm Justin Harlow.
And this is Relative Nonsense.
That's what I'm talking about. That was perfect, dude. That was perfect. Yeah, hey, guys, listen, today we have an absolute special guest. Not only a special guest, a first guest. First time ever being on this podcast. Any podcast?
First time ever being on any podcast.
Let's go, baby. And he is not only my brother and his cousin, but kind of like our daddies. We grew up without fathers, so this man was there since day one. A1 since day one, baby. Justin Harlow, thank you for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited about this. It's kind of cool that y'all set all this up.
Isn't it?
Proud of you, Doug. I'm proud of you. Yeah, man. Who would have known? A surprise visit, and y'all just set it up for me all
that's
the same
right.
time?
That's right. Surprise visit. Speaking of that, man, where are you heading to?
Arkansas.
So
we're got a job offer to go out there and do transmission lines in the Ozarks for like 4 months with my two cousins, Jesse and Eddie, and my brother slash roommate, Nick. So we're all going to be out there. I'm going to be running the crew. They're going to be working with me. And just go out there and just bought a camper to pull out there because there's nothing out there. There's no hotels or nothing. We're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Mountains?
Yeah, mountains and crazy. It's beautiful. He said they dug on a hole for 2 days because they probably got to put dynamite and everything else in to get this thing to flow, you know. So it'll be new work for me, even though I've been doing it for 20 years. It's going to be different. So.
That's right. Transmission, digging holes for 2 days. Y'all probably have no idea what this guy's talking about. So he is a lineman. We actually all kind of came from line work because of him as well. So he builds power lines, climbs poles. Basically, he turns you on all day and night, baby. That's kind of what the gig is, right? You make sure that people have electricity, people have AC and running water and food to cook and everything like that. So thank you for everything you do on that end too, man. What got you into doing line work?
Well, I went up in my first bucket with Uncle Troy when I was 5. He had one of those like pin-on buckets that if you lean forward, it'd make you feel like you were about to fall out.
Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But then his son, Shane, ended up doing it for like 8 years before I got into it. But I had no intentions of being in line work. I was just looking to make some money because we all grew up poor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, I'll do whatever's going to make me money. So I was going to be a doctor. And then they said, for every hour you spend in this class, you got to spend 4 studying. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of
hours. So, yeah, I ain't trying to put that much work into it. And like in 10 or 11 years before you really start getting anything, I'm like, nah, man. Yeah. Well, then I was going to be a pharmacist because Rhonda finished that in like 6 or 7 years. And she was working 3 days a week making decent money.
Right.
But then I found out Shane was taking off 4 months a year and all the hunting season and had brand new trucks and everything was paid off. And I was like, I'm going to do that. And dude, right. I ended up loving it. It ended up being the coolest career for me ever. I get to travel. I've been in 40 of the states, couple countries working. And then just, I get 6 months off with my family and stuff. You know what I mean?
And all getting paid to go see life. You know
that's
what I mean?
It, dude.
Yeah.
But we're going to be out there working 7 days, daylight to dark. You know what I mean? So when we do work, we work.
We work.
And absolutely. I like it, dude. It's awesome.
It's awesome. So. It's awesome. And like I said, it's a lot of fun for me. That was a big part that I loved about it too, right? Like, your office was never the same place twice in a row. And if it was, like, it was a hard job, so you weren't doing the same thing either way. I mean, I think that's kind of why we all got into it, right? Like, from the jump street, when it came down to it, it was like you come up from, you know, the struggle and you see that side of it, and then you see blue collar, and that's all we were taught, you know, young, our grandpa, same exact thing, right? Like, out there getting it. He had his own business, but it was blue collar. He was working daylight to dusk just the same way. And, you know, to see the light at the end of the tunnel where it's like, oh, man, I could do that and I could have this. You kind of run at the opportunity, and then little do you know all the cool side effects that comes with that, right? Like seeing so much. I feel like a lot of times, I don't know what the statistic is exactly. I'd be lying if I told you. But I feel like a lot of times probably at least 50% of people who are born somewhere never leave that place they're born from. And thank God our family wasn't like that. But definitely, man, like even if your family is like that and you decide to get into line work, you're going to see more than you could ever imagine.
For sure. You know what I mean? I also read on a napkin one time that 50% of all statistics are made up.
Hey. Well, then 100% of the time, I'm right 50% of the time. Right. I think is what that means, right?
Even when I'm wrong, I'm really right. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man, that's awesome. So line work, how far back do we go? I'm 9 years younger than you, right? So I mean, how were those first 9 years? What do you remember? How was it?
Man, well, see, that's funny. I was just telling our Uncle Harlan today in text message that the way I grew up is not the way I see it now. I saw it as a really struggle. I saw it as everybody had nice shit and we didn't, you know what I mean? I lived in an apartment complex that was small, you know? Mom took care of us, no dad around. So we just seemed like we were struggling all the time, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But then, you know, I started showing gratitude for everything in my life. And the more I did, the more I healed the things in my past, and the more I got to learn to show gratitude for my past. I was looking at things I didn't have instead of we're going to the springs and swimming every weekend with our family, you know what I mean? We're grandpa's got a big rope swing in the front yard. We'd run and launch ourselves with. You remember that?
Like, yes, I do.
Trampolines. Like, yeah. Man, we had family around us, and we all got to play together all the time. You know what I mean? Even in the apartment complex I lived in, I lived right in front of the park and the pool.
Right.
And I could climb up the walls and get on the roof and stuff. I think I was made to be a lineman anyway. You know, I'd be 30 foot up in a tree when I was like 5, and they'd come tell mom they're going to kick us out of it if I don't stop climbing this tree.
Yeah, that kind of checks out. And we all kind of grew up like that too, right? Like even at Pawpaw Danny's, you know, I remember him outside, dude. Like he was such a badass to me. Like I couldn't grasp the concept. Like this man would take a BB gun and shoot a bee with it and kill it. And I mean, just lay him down. Like it was nothing. And then you tell other people, they'd be like, you're a liar. Like, nobody nobody is really getting behind a story like that. So we grew up without a lot of money, but with a whole lot of family support, a whole lot of adventure. We were always doing something. And it's so funny because, you know, I'm married now, beautiful wife, 2 kids. And my wife grew up with family who had plenty of money. And it's funny to hear her stories of like, yeah, she had big houses and she had nice stuff and they drove nice cars and they never went without. But like it was, well, what did you do? Well, you know, we sat inside. We'd go on a convention down to Orlando, and we'd stay at a resort, and we'd get to go to the beach and a pool. What else? That's it. And then you'd look back, and you're like, man, you think, like, oh, because I'm broke, I don't have anything. Yeah, right. You were never not doing something. Yeah. And, right, like, that's what life's about.
We never really struggled, man. We always had food. We always had clothes. 100%. We always had family, you know what 100%. I mean? We weren't lacking anything.
No, I think we just watched too many videos, like, you know, I love rap growing up. They all had like Bentleys with spinners and chains and huge houses. And I'm like, I'm next. I know I'm next.
The thing about growing up in poverty is they want you to want that. Mm-hmm. So you spend all your money on shit that's not better in your life. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, you buy a nice cell phone and some shoes and a nice car and nice wheels. Or you could buy a nice home, you know, with a pool so your family can chill for the same price you're paying for all that stuff. But that's you just don't know it yet. You don't know yet.
Absolutely, yeah. And not only that, then, like, when they try and show you how, like, you can get that money right, it's all about what the man wants you to do, you know, as far as, like, oh, go be a doctor, go be a teacher, go be a, this is how you're going to make your money. Not doing something like podcasting or your own free will, starting a business, like, you know, this is land of the free and home of the brave, baby. You can absolutely do anything you want to do. And when you are struggling, you don't know that. And even if somebody tells you that, like, it's not true to you. But it's more true than ever to everybody. Man, like, do what you want to do. Do it all the time. We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
How cool is this to be sitting in a room full of family, right, talking, and hopefully one day being able to do this and inspire other people.
And it's crazy. They kind of like, they tell you they're helping you, but they make you dependent on them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
We paid $1 a month for rent. Mom's raising 2 kids by herself. She's getting $300. She's getting WIC. You know what I mean? So we got certain cheeses and juices we can drink and shit. But $300 a month spending money, and that includes her gas and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She got a job making $350 a week. They gave her $0 spending money.
That's right.
So you're telling me to leave my kids and go work 8 hours a day, I make $50. You know what I mean? Like, you're not helping them better themselves. You're not helping them get out of the situation. You're trying to keep them in it. And the biggest thing I learned in life is whatever you tell yourself, whatever you believe, you will achieve, you know what I mean? Absolutely. You just have to know it. And the one thing I knew growing up in the hood is I wasn't gonna be broke.
That's right.
I was gonna get my ass out of there, and I damn sure, dude, I learned money grows on trees if you know how to do it right, you know what I mean?
Hallelujah.
So
absolutely. Literally. Yeah. You just shave them down and set a pole there.
Yeah, true, true.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's cool. All right, so just like you said, right, it feels like a struggle to you, and then boom, I'm born. Little kid.
Oh man. That was life changing, dude. Growing up without a father, man, well, first I had a dad that hung around until I was 5, and then he left, so kind of broke that trust, and then my real dad showed up and kind of in and out, didn't really, like, wasn't a father, you know?
Yeah.
So whenever I had a brother, dude, I finally had somebody I could trust, somebody I could bond with, and somebody that didn't have to guide me or discipline me however she needed to try to help me get out of that situation, you know what I mean?
Right.
I had somebody I could actually trust and talk to. It was awesome, man. It's awesome. Yeah. It's been awesome ever since you were born. I remember when you were born, I'd sleep on the floor with you holding you. You know what I mean? It was awesome.
That's so cool, man. I remember that too. Just like, I can remember a lot of like being a kid and always like trying to go sleep in your bed with you and always being with you nonstop. You taking me to the pool, you this, you that. And it's crazy like to see you blossom. You were 9, right? And I'm a baby. And now you're 40.
40, yeah.
Right, 40. Damn. But look how you treat all kids, dude.
Dude, well.
All kid. Like, they look, like, as soon as you come around, like, it's like, Uncle Justin! Yeah, for sure. You think that came from, like, that age?
Probably came, yeah, from hanging out with you, man. And, I mean, I was hard on you, you know what I mean? Life was hard on us, and I was hard on you. I was tough on you. We both needed it, you know what I mean?
But I also, this one, too.
Just a little bit. Yeah. Luckily, as I got older, man, I learned a better way to guide without discipline, or you know what I mean? And really, sure. I learned to stop saying negative things to myself, or period. Like, if I say something, if I even say a negative word, I try not to even say sorry. Me and Tina say thank you for understanding to each other.
I heard that today, and it blew my mind. 2 days ago, me and my wife, something happened, and she was like, sorry, 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 sorry. And I was like, stop. Yeah. What is there to be sorry about? This is nothing. Stop doing that. And, you know, like, I wasn't frustrated about it. Like, I was just tired of hearing it type deal. But then fast forward to 24 hours later, and then to hear y'all same exact thing where she goes, sorry. And before it can come out her mouth, she's like, thank you for understanding. And I was like, that's cool. I turn around, look right at my wife, and like, we knew right then.
So the biggest turning point was whenever I tried to go from a negative mentality to a positive. I carried this rod, and I would thank it. I'd hold it, and I'd say, thank you for my family. Thank you for my kids that fill me with love and light, and just, I love spending time with them. I thank you for my brother, my mom, my friends, my career, you know what I mean? And then it got to the point where whenever I went through some really hard shit, man, I'd pull this rock out and hold it, and immediately I've already trained myself to thank it for things, you know what I mean? So it's immediately changing my mentality. So thank you for understanding. That's showing gratitude, you know what I mean? I've learned, dude, any positive energy you put out comes back to you. Any negative energy, even negative words, like sorry, will come. It comes around, you know what I mean? If somebody is sorry, you're saying they're not a good person, you know what I mean? So don't even put that negativity out there. Change that word to thank you for understanding. Change every word. I used to drive down the road and think about, what if I drove off this bridge? You know what would happen?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. So if I'm thinking something like that, I'll just be like, man, I can't wait to go to the Springs with my kids this weekend. You know what I mean? I'll immediately change that thought and make it what I want. Yeah, and I don't look at negative stuff on Facebook. I don't let news feeds pop up and tell me all the wrong in the world.
Right.
Because I live this life every day, and I don't see anything wrong. It looks beautiful. And now I walk outside and I tell the damn lizard I love him. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We damn saved a spider in the shower from drowning. Like, put it on a leaf, and then we had to, like, blow it off. We're, like, blowing on it and stuff, then it started, like, moving one little leg. And I was like, damn, dude, I had so much gratitude that spider didn't die in the shower because of me. You know what I mean? Right. It's weird.
When did that start, and how did that start, right? Because just like you said, hold on, let's back up, because I love where we're going. But I do want to say there was a lot of time before this where that was not the case. I can't even begin to explain. I love where you're at in life now. I love where we're in life now. We're such different people than we were. But I will say, for a long time, that was not the motto. That was not the motto. We'd never sit here and tear up at a podcast, especially knowing this thing. How many people about to see?
Yeah.
Us?
Yeah,
no, sir. You don't cry about nothing, dog. It's soldier mentality. You know what I mean?
Well, that's because we grew up in the hood, you know what I mean? And people are not sweet and helpful in the hood, you know what I mean? Which some people, you know what I mean? I'll tell you, there are a lot of people that bonded together and helped you and shit.
But, and I'm thankful for all those people, too, because they taught me a lot in life.
Yeah, but I learned, and especially by the dads leaving, I just shut off my heart completely, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The only person that really got that was you, sometimes, Mom. So I just shut it off completely, and that just turned me in, and then I was, you know, I'm watching hood movies, and I'm watching fucking action movies, and I'm learning what a man is from these things, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And a man, to me, was the alpha male who's better than everybody at everything, and he's smart, and he's, like, driven, and he's accomplishing things, but also just egotistical, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then I made it to 34. I'd been married for 9 years with her for 13, and I was not a good man, you know what I mean? And we ended up hurting each other. The first time, I tried to make it work for 2 more years because we had kids. And whenever I did, I started reading. Mom and Harlan introduced me to the book, The Power of Now. Awesome book. But I started reading, and as I did, man, I learned that I can shut off my mind. I don't have to let things rule me, you know what I mean? I can control my emotions. I can control my reactions. I can even remove my reaction completely. Right. And just solve situations. And as I started learning that, man, I read more books and listen to audibles and anything. All my news feed is conscious things. And, dude, my life is so beautiful. That's why I'm telling the lizard I love him, dude. It's the most beautiful life in the world. And just like today, I bought a brand new camper. The wheel hub popped off and messed it all up. I didn't get angry, man. I changed it, put it back together, and I'm about to roll on to Arkansas, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so nonstop. And that's the beautiful thing about life, right? Like, all of us, I would say, no matter what, I don't care if you're silver spoon fed or, you know, whatever the case may be, you are going to have trials and you are going to have tribulations. And as a kid, I was the same way as you, right? Because that's how I was taught. And that mentality is, you ain't going to break me. I'm better than everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm better than everything. I'm better. But when you do that, you bring negativity upon yourself without mm-hmm. even realizing that you're doing that, right? Yeah. And you can be better than, I wouldn't even say better than. You can be the best version of you and not try and put on somebody else that you're better than them, right? Like, no, there's no need for that. And that took so long, and I'm still working on it, man. I'm, 31 years old. I'm not saying I'm anywhere near you as far as that in my life. I'm learning to. I'm still, wild a little bit. But there's definitely a great upside to that mentality, right? Yeah, like, there's people like, oh, man, that's a little too spiritual for me. Like, but what harm could ever come from being the most positive person in the room at all times?
I'll tell you, man, I joke with Tina. I tell her the reason mosquitoes bite is because they're attracted to light. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that is true for all things. Like, if you're in a room, man, and you're just enjoying yourself, people want to be around you. You know what I mean? And I learned universal language is love. You know what I mean? Even if somebody can't communicate with you, if you show them love, they can immediately show you love back. Even if you show an animal love, they can immediately show you love back.
That's right.
And I've even learned past that. If you show a tree and a plant love, they can show you love back, which is just mind-blowing to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because especially, like, you hear, like, oh, they have life, too. Just like, you don't believe that. And then, like, you can actually start to see it. You know, another big thing, man. I was so against, like, the holistic. And not even, like, because I wanted to be, just because I didn't know any better. I knew that, doctor, here was my mentality on everything, right? Like, okay, I get that going to a doctor is bad for you. But now the average lifespan of somebody is 40 or 50 years more than it was back then when there were no doctors. So you can't tell me that the doctor's not the one with the common sense. And that's true to an extent, right? Holistic is how all of this started. It just became a money grab. So back to the story. I don't believe in any of this stuff. My daughter is 4 months old, maybe. And she cannot go to the bathroom. And it's getting bad, man.
Quick example. You said she cannot go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Immediately change it. Mm-hmm. She's learning to go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Because you are reinforcing that, and you are creating everything. You are manifesting everything as you speak. Yeah. So I'm telling you, everything changes. She's learning to go to the bathroom. Continue to.
There you go. Okay. So she's learning to go to the bathroom, right? And she's not being able to. So we're starting to get, like, a little worried about it. And we're like, all right, maybe we need to take her to go get checked. So mom's like, try this first for her stomach. It's an oil. I'm like, I don't know about that. Eventually, it's like, what's the choice, right? It's this or it's go to the doctor, try it. And 5 minutes, and that's probably me being way too long later, 3 days of her holding it is all out, everything's good. And right then is where I started to kind of change my mentality, just a little bit, of course. You don't ever just, okay, I'm all in, right? But just a little bit of, like, maybe even though I'm, 24, 25, I don't know it all. Right. And there are things that I can't see. And just because I'm so hard headed to go, well, this and this and this is how it works, doesn't mean that there's not other ways that things work and potentially better ways for them to work. Same thing as positivity. Nobody here is telling you that going through life going, I work harder, I'm trying to be smarter, I'm trying to be better than everybody else is terrible for you. It can be, right? But that makes very successful people. It's just not the way that you should go about it. You can go through life being successful and having all the money and having all the fun in the world without the egotistical part of that. And as soon as you shed that off, it seems like the three things that you were chasing the most in the beginning are what you attain more of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story, man? I was at the dog beach with Tina and Callie and the Keys. Tina's my spiritual wife. I'm still relearning the wife thing after two of them, you know what I mean?
But yeah, slow down. Yeah, take your time. We all right with you waiting to get married.
She's my spiritual wife.
We love her too.
You know what I mean? I've never connected to anybody that much in my life, But anyways, we're down there at the beach and we're playing with Cowie, and Cowie does not move 2 feet from me, but she's a white German Shepherd, and she's kind of big. And
that's right.
People are still scared of dogs, even though they're nowhere near them and not even coming at them, you know what I mean? But she's swimming in the water with us. She's climbing a tree with me, and this guy comes up and is like, is she a service animal? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what's the function? And I said, emotional support. And he said, well, she's either service or she's emotional support. She can't be both. Mm-hmm. But either way, she can't be on this beach without a leash. And I got frustrated, because I was like, man, we're just enjoying ourselves. She's literally not even 100 feet from anybody.
Right.
So I take the Grom, me and Tina load up. We actually put Callie in the middle of us and ride this thing with her, and it's awesome.
That's cool.
But we ride back to the campground. Yeah, it's a motorcycle, sorry. We ride it back to the campground. We leave Callie in the camper, go take a shower, and I'm thinking about it, and we're talking about it, and I feel bad. I said, not I feel bad, but I did lie to the guy, and I don't lie. I don't say negative things, and I don't say things that aren't true. You know what I mean? So I drove back over there. I was talking to Kenzie on FaceTime. It was awesome, but then I saw the guy, so I walked away, and I was like, hey, man, I lied to you earlier. I was like, she's not a service animal, but I appreciate the spark. I said, she will be a service animal, and I will learn the laws because I won't be in that situation again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was like, and the dude ended up being so awesome, man. He's like, man, actually, you didn't lie. He was like, you don't have to register. She is a service animal or she is an emotional support, but you have to know the difference. He just gave me recommendations. He talked about his son playing jazz guitar and gave me recommendations. And he was like, man, there's no place for ego in this world. And I'm like, exactly, brother. I was like, man, I feel the same way. That's why I came over here to talk to you. And, dude, they changed that immediate negative situation to a positive so quick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how amazing is that, right? Like, so much different than things were in the past. I think more people are kind of starting to have that same mentality, which is awesome. You know what I mean? Tristan, what, you got any questions, anything burning in your heart? How are you feeling on this spiritual journey that we are taking, sir? I know this is your favorite.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I'm not, like, super spiritual. I think I'm coming around a little bit. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm fully bought in, but, you know, I do feel like you do manifest what you get out in life.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're always negative, you know, you got a negative outlook, everything's going to be negative. It doesn't matter if it's the best thing in the world. You know, you make $1 million, you're like, man, I should have found two.
Absolutely.
You know, you just be mad at life. But I'm getting there, coming around. I think it's more y'all's forte.
How old are you now?
25.
Oh, man, you ain't even there yet, bro. So I didn't start turning into a man until, like, 34 was when I went through that thirst thing. But 30 is, like, when life starts getting a little better and easier. But 34, 35 is, like, the changing. That's where men start either becoming men or they can stay in the same trap, but that's where most men I see are growing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I will say real quick, I don't think it's not that you're not a man by that point, right? Because what you go through in life, you could be a man at 15, at 14, hell, right? Like, that can happen. But what people don't understand when we mean man, we mean more human, right? Like,
how much
can you grow?
Yeah, how much are you uplifting others?
Exactly,
and
there's
putting
a point.
Back
there's a point in life, in which that changed. And I was going to comment on that too when you were saying that. Like, I'm not as, but I can see you understanding a lot of stuff with manifestation and things like that. And I was the same way. Understand that this is like he's the oldest, I'm the second, you're the third. It's funny how it took me a while to come around too, because he first started saying this, and I'd run to T and be like, hey, what the fuck?
Crazy.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like it, but we carrying bugs out of the house? Nah, you in my house, you're dead.
Yeah,
right, and now my kids are like, oh, don't kill that! So now I got to start to be slowing down and, oh, let's take it easy and da-da-da. So I think it does, like, the longer you go, like, it's funny at first, you're like, never would I ever, and before long, you're in the middle of doing it going, isn't this great? You know what I mean? Save all the daddy long legs.
That's it, dude.
But what were you going to say about that?
My dad left me as well. I did have some great father figures in my life, but I feel like you were one as well, you know?
I was tough as shit on you, too, though. Bro.
Oh, man, you were.
Yeah, I was so tough on you.
Yeah. And, like, I think it's crazy. If you're a viewer who listens to podcasts and they see you, like, man, that guy's super positive.
He's
like,
so
you
sweet.
Don't know Justin.
You
like,
you
a couple years ago.
Jack. You know that,
yeah.
That show, you don't know Jack? You don't know Justin. Like,
right.
There was a time in which all this was so much different, and it's hilarious. If we would have been on here in that mindset, like, really, it'd just be like a whole bunch of belittling. Like, how much can
absolutely.
You pick at somebody?
Yeah.
And it's not bad to pick at somebody every now and then. I'm not saying that, but you can pick at somebody in a positive way. Before, it was just, how negative can you be? Man, like, it's funny. I grew up tough as nails. I could talk shit with the best of them.
Man.
And you know why? Because since I was 3, I was being called a fat roly-poly by my family. And if you can be called a fat piece of shit your whole life by your family, you can talk some shit. I think that's how the best comedians in the world are made, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's such a switch, and I do agree, like, you shouldn't do that to children. But, you know, there's a point of it where you should still have fun, and, like, nobody's telling you don't go out there and have a blast and be crazy. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I mean, me being a lot younger, you were already in the trade. I was a kid. I remember a conversation we had about, you know, getting into the trade and seeing you be successful. I kind of want to model my life around that, you know? Like, man, dude, Justin's got nice cars, always, you know, does what he wants to do, got plenty of money. And what would dad to go to college? You ain't $400,000 in debt. And it's like, man, yeah, I guess do it. I want to do that.
Yeah.
So I got into the trade, and I kind of modeled that. I remember, you know, you used to be very, like, alpha male, egotistical. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's how you got to be to succeed.
Yeah.
And those who don't know, line work is very ego. It's very, everybody is a type all A ego. Person. Oh, yeah. It's horrible, man.
There's one thing that every lineman can agree on, that they could have done it better. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah. Like, if you don't know if somebody's a lineman, don't worry. He'll tell you.
You know? Yeah. If it ain't on his truck or on his shirt, look here.
How old are you, lineman?
What? Yeah. What did you say?
Yeah, so this is more than a job, right? This is a brotherhood. And even though me and I don't do it at all anymore, you don't do it as far as, you know, field work side of it. There's something about it that if you have done it, it will always be in you. And I imagine it's probably the same thing as the military. There's something about going up and, no, you're not fighting against somebody and putting your life on the line for your country, like not comparing the two whatsoever, but saying there's something about going up and working on something that, you know, at any moment, anything, even if you're doing everything right, could still take your life, that brings men closer together when they work together like that, because I have to trust you as much as you can trust me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, there can't be a difference.
For sure. And what I learned and how I started changing with you guys and with the kids and with everybody else is, you can try to guide alpha males by yelling at them and screaming and shit, yeah, but you ain't gonna get no work out of them.
So never ever, yeah.
I learned in order to do it, you had to lead by example. So I worked my ass off, and they worked their ass off, and we got off early as shit, and we got paid good, you know what I mean? And I learned, I was like, man, if I can do this with grown-ass men, you know what I mean, why can't I do this with kids? So I was like, I don't have to beat my kids. I don't have to discipline them. I can... Now, my kids both get excellent grades, and the only rule in my house is you don't have to do too much, but you have to get good grades, or we're going to start taking things away. Like, you're going to put your phone down at 9 o'clock at night, or when you get home, you're going to have an hour of chores and an hour of homework. You know what I mean?
What are good grades for you?
A's and B's. That's it.
A's and B's.
A's and B's are good, you know? What
did Mama say about a C? You remember that?
If you get a C, you're going to see the inside of the house.
For the next 9 weeks, baby.
9 weeks until
nine
they go to court.
Your ass does not come back out of that house. And now, C for most families, I will say, people don't know this either, C is average. So people with a C go, hey, baby, that's not bad. You just need to do a little better. This household? Nah. Shoo. Man, I brought a D home one time, and it wasn't the D, I don't think, but the D looked real close to, I could make that thing to a B if I put a line in the middle. So I wrote the line in the middle, and I brought it home, because I knew, like, a C was bad enough, but this D meant dead for me. Oh, she had never told me what the D meant. She only told me what the C meant.
Yeah.
And if the C meant inside the house, the D had to stand for dead to me. So I was like, nah, it's got to be a B, you know? Yeah. So I wrote it, and I brought it home, and it's like, I'd probably drop it off at 1, you know, probably 4 or 5. I'm thinking I got away with this. And the door gets kicked open with a belt. And I realized I did not get away with this, right? And then, like, but I love that, like, maybe the discipline is, like, shouldn't be that much. Yeah, sure. I understand what you're saying. But I needed some serious disciplining, right? And what that taught me was two things. One, pay attention, because you're smarter than that. You don't need a D. You won't ever get a D again as long as you apply yourself a little bit. And two, you might have gotten your ass whooped pretty bad for getting that D, but it was nothing like it became when I tried to lie and make it something that it was not.
True.
You know what I mean? I think the same thing about life. Like, when it's a spade, call it a spade. And if you try and make it something that it's not, it's just going to be worse for you. So whether that's positive or that's negative, make the best of the shit and ride no matter what.
Dude, I speak the truth no matter what. I do not tell any lies. That's the only reason I've been able to connect with Tina so much, is, you know, we are completely honest with each other.
Absolutely.
And, dude, living that life is such a mind-clearing, beautiful thing. You just get to enjoy life. You know, it's different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm thankful for you, too, because the more I watched you guys, the more I did learn there is love in life, you know what I mean? And my cousin and his wife. And just, like, I started watching people, and I had good role models. And you know what I mean? Even though you're 9 years younger.
It's funny to think.
And I learned you can be that way, you know? You can. And that's what I also learned. You can learn anything from anybody, you know what I mean?
Models. Yeah, my wife was 3 years younger than me, my role model. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Absolutely. I don't think it's about age. At one point in time, I did. Just like we were talking about that once, when you become a man. Well, I think that's not about age. I think spiritually you grow. I think you become a man when things happen in your life to force you to become that way. And maybe they never do, right? So maybe some people never do become men, you know? But just like you said, once you get that foundation, you do go, man, like, just because they're older doesn't mean they're wiser, and just because they're younger also doesn't mean they're dumber, right? Like, those two things have never gone together, and I've learned that since a young age, too, because you were young, and you were smarter than most 50-year-olds I knew, And when I was young, I thought I was smarter than most 50-year-olds I know. Mm. Fast forwarding now, probably not. I'm not smarter than most, but like I still think I am. Yeah, so yeah, somewhere sure. down, that's got to be a positive thing.
Well, you should always.
I don't think nobody's dumber. I just think I'm smart.
No, you should always feel that way about yourself.
I do. Well, I've taken a couple IQ tests and say I'm a genius too.
Yeah, I did.
What's that test? The the Wonderlic test. I sent it to you.
That's the one where you put the shapes in the box, right?
Nah. That one's way harder than what I'm talking about.
About my kid's mom is she was a school psychologist, so she'd give me their IQ tests and stuff, and they were wild, dude.
I definitely
shine a little bit of there too, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why school was always easy for me.
I mean, your head big enough, it's got to be something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, man. You know what I mean? They got to fit something up in there.
Like, brain, hey, baby. Emptiness, I promise.
That's it.
But. Yeah, absolutely. That's cool. But yeah, man, I absolutely think like that is the point of it all, right? Like at the end of the day, like it's about going through life, going through experiences and what you gain from that. And you can go through life and you can go through all these experiences and at the end of it, you can be like, everything sucks. That's all you learn from everything? Even if you did get beat the hell up 180 times, the only thing you learned is this sucks? Yeah. You didn't learn how to duck? You couldn't have talked about that, right? So I think it's not what goes down, it's how you approach it when it does. I've heard from coaches so many times, son, I don't care how well you can catch the ball. I care about how hard you can get hit and get back up. That's it. And that's life, man. Get back up.
Yeah, always, right? Like, dude, man. But I wrote a really cool note to myself, man, and I can read it to you if you like.
Yeah, sure. To the podcast, baby, read to the world.
I was just down, bro, you know what I mean? And it said, hey, Justin, read this if you're feeling down. It's okay, man. This too shall pass. Weather the storm. Don't let it hook you. Practice unhooking from the emotion. Practice meditation. Things will return to normal a lot quicker if you keep your peace. If it's love, work extra hard on making yourself better before trying to work on your relationship. Mm. She loves you the way you love her. She always has. If she doesn't, then she's not who you're fighting for anyways. She can't love you if you don't love yourself. Support her, but lean towards your other loving relationships if you're falling. Love on your babies. Love your family and friends. A lot of people look up to you to be strong because you give love in abundance and bring everyone up around you. You are a positive influence in so many lives. Don't let a thought or anxiety bring down a foundation that you built over a lifetime. Let it blow in one ear and not the other like the wind. You are so much more than you can ever imagine. You've grown exponentially since a child and you continue to do so every day. You're a supernova. Dance among the stars. And then it's just like little things. Do things you love more. Basketball, sunsets, one wheeling, the ocean, running, bike rides, journal, read, playing with the kids, trampoline parks, wrestling, pool, park, whatever. And then it says, stop with excuses. You are stronger than your mind. Let it run while you soak up every second of this beautiful life. Begin daily affirmations immediately. Read your notes on gratitude. Read all of your notes if needed. Never do or say anything hurtful. That's not you. You love everyone and everything. You vibrate at a higher frequency than that. Find someone at peace and sit with them. Borrow from their energy. Breathe, bro. You got this. I love you. Love me back. Love always. The real Justin Harlow. And dude, I've had to read in my last relationship. I had to read that a few times. You know what I mean? Because yeah. I was wanting to give up on myself because we weren't connecting, and I put too much weight on how she felt about me, right. And not so much how I felt about me, dude. And
exactly.
I'm just learning, man, and growing, and
that's awesome.
Happy for it, dude.
That is awesome, dude. And now. Yes, you a lineman. Yes, you a badass. We done went through kind of the whole life. I do want to ask kind of what you got coming up. Now you can reach Justin just like you can reach us, right? Like
oh, yeah. Here, well, we started a TikTok, me and Tina, actually. It's called Justina's.realm because mom had me in her phone forever as Justina. You know what I mean?
That.
Nick had me in his phone as Justina. And it's funny because Tina's name is Tina.
Right.
And everybody be like, is it Christina? And she'd say, no, Justina.
Justina.
And so both of us have kind of been intertwining that our whole life. And
that's awesome.
Then whenever we got together, man, it, like I said, it's like we were meant to connect like that. You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
She's on the same spiritual level as me. We meditate in the mornings together. We do this crazy yoga, couples yoga thing. It's awesome, dude. And it
that's
like
sweet.
Aligns us with the universe and ourselves. And nothing can really throw us off. You know what I mean?
That's
alcohol
great.
Was. And we quit alcohol about a month ago. Thank God. Life's so much better without that poison, bro.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Telling you. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
She's actually a professional stunt rider, which is awesome, dude.
How crazy.
That's
wait
wild,
a second. She's a what?
The first date, she's like, ride me around on the bike. I used to ride dirt bikes, but I ain't rode a bike since I was a kid. And she was like, you drive. And I was like, no, you drive. You stand up on it, and you want me to drive you? She was like, I'm not driving you. I was like, cool. And dude, and I got on it, and it was just like a kid. I remembered everything. Like
that's
riding
right,
a bike.
Riding
you know,
a bike.
Picked it right
exactly.
up, dude. And awesome. No, I love it, dude.
That's what I'm
I
talking
love
about.
Life. Life is good.
That's awesome.
I think we're going to have to close it out, though. I love you guys to death, but you know my babies are out there playing right now, and I got to get out there and do it.
That's right. So, 100%.
We'll have you back again, for sure.
Yeah, I'll come back around, dude. I love talking with you guys, man.
No, I mean, I will say, like, with this, I feel like y'all are a lot more connected spiritually.
And more in touch with your spirit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
We spent a lot of time with you growing up, but we spent every day together growing up. You know what I mean? Absolutely. We live in the same bed. Once we get to chatting, dude, it's hard for anybody to jump in there. They just feel like it's me and
it's
talking
funny,
all night.
It's funny to act like same bed growing up, because I swear this was, I don't know how long ago I was at the line business, but talking about 8 years ago, we were sleeping in the same bed, too. Grown-ass bed. Hey, man, if there's one king bed in the hotel, if we're on storm and I ain't got no power and you do, where you at, bro? I'm heading to you, dude.
Hey, bro, I got AC, man. Come crawl up in this bed.
Yes, sir. Three deep, four deep, we do not care, man.
We're trying to get some rest so we can get back to work.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. There might be all that ego bullshit when you out there working, but as soon as you get off, that ego goes out the window. Your best friends, you sleep in the same bed. Yeah. So, you hard asses at work. Things change after. Well, brother, thank you, man, so thank fucking much for coming on, dude.
I'm proud of y'all, homie.
I love you too, dude. I love you too. That's awesome, bro. I'm proud of you guys, man. Y'all did good. Dude.
Thank you, T. Thank you
y'all
to our producer
good.
Crew.
Y'all did good with the wives. Y'all did good with the babies. I'm happy to see y'all, man, and model my life after you.
I got from the same cloth. What you mean?
I got two beautiful babies and a wife good with it.
Me too.
Love y'all.
Hey, Siri. Why are you going... Hey, Siri.
The first word she's giving you, dumbass, is buffoon.
Hey, Siri. Siri, you dumb fucking whore.
Oh, don't blame Siri.
Siri, Siri, give me three. Siri.
He's trying to leave. My Siri's trying to do it for you. So, this segment is called Three Words, and it's not, we won't sit here and segment it, and, you know, I don't want to label anything, you know what I mean? But we want to make sure there's some meat to our podcast. We want to have cool different things we do. Y'all tell us if y'all think of anything cool. This is something that we all thought of. So three words, what we are going to do is we are going to take one word at a time. Hopefully we can spend 5 to 10 to who knows how many minutes talking about these words. We're going to ask ChatGPT, so there's no way we could look this up or have any idea of what we're going to talk about, so that we can just spit some random shit and hopefully some cool facts. Most of us is going to be random shit, though, I imagine, because a lot of us aren't very factual. So number one, Tristan, what is it? Let's get a drum roll, please.
We got space tourism.
What the fuck is that? Number two word it. No, okay, all right. Space tourism. I'm just going to spitball here. If you had to ask me what space tourism is, I would say Elon Musk, the first pioneer of space tourism, decides with his new astronaut and his new aircrafts, he is going to send us up to space, to Mars, to his new hotel where you can hang out with Joe Rogan and smoke weed and be on his podcast. Space tourism.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like a starting to be a big thing. A lot of people are talking about like going to Mars. You can actually pay to get a ticket and go up there in space.
Wait a fucking minute. Was I right? Is that really what that is?
Yeah.
I've literally never heard of this in my life.
From what I understand from the interwebs, I could be completely wrong. Who knows?
Did you look this up? Or like you've just known about this prior?
I've seen some studies from the University of Facebook.
They're very reliable, by the way.
Absolutely.
Abraham Lincoln posts on there all the time, so. And you know he don't lie.
Oh, yeah, no, but they have been talking about you could, like, pay to go to space if you get enough money.
I don't. I mean, I let's not say that. Maybe one day. How much?
I don't know. I don't think that it's really, like, one of those things if you get to ask how much, you can't afford it. You know what I mean?
Never mind. Maybe not one day. I don't care enough to go. I mean, I'd spend some good money for a really powerful telescope and a roof porch. Nah, just kidding. We can skip the roof porch. But a really powerful telescope. And that's about as close as I'd need to be. I mean, a plane. If you know what? I got an idea.
What?
All right. This is how you do it. Right? Y'all stay with me. You know how all these cars nowadays have these beautiful sunroofs, and now they got the panoramic, the whole damn thing. You can just see it just tops all the window. You do the same thing in a plane. Bam. Clear. Everything. Get above the clouds. 30,000 feet. Here we are. Perfect skies. Telescope. Point telescope up. Zoom telescope in. And I can see shit way better than y'all. I can see y'all playing on Mars, but it took y'all 4 weeks to get there, and I saw the shit in 17 minutes. I'm good. I'll land back down and lay back in my bed.
But that's not...
it's tourism, bro. It's not, can I see space? It's, I want to go there and visit and that kind of shit. Like, I can look up pictures of damn Vegas. I don't mean I've ever been. I've never toured Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I get that. I'm familiar with terrorism, tourism, not so much.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I want to do it. I'm just saying, I tell you what, if I'm going to space, we're going to Mars. Shit has went wrong in this world. We are moving. See, that ain't tourism at that point. That's just relocating.
So moving. You don't want to go. You're like me. You have no intention of being there whatsoever.
No, bro. They ain't even got. I mean, what the hell are you going to do when you get there? You're like, oh well, look at all these red rocks and shit. All
right, there's three people in this room. T, by a show of thumbs up or thumbs down, would you ever want to go stay in space? Okay, so there is like one weird person out of the group. I just think,
I don't know what the fuck's wrong with that.
I don't either. Hell no. You know, this, just so everybody has a little bit of context about this individual, is scared to death of getting on a boat because she is automatically going to die. But going to space, not a problem. Who cares about that shit they call oxygen and asteroids and everything else? But keep me the fuck away from that boat. Hey, there's a little joke, okay? Y'all ever went on a boat ride with a wheel pimp?
A little boat ride.
All right, so I'm going to tell this joke. There's this guy, right? It's pimp. He got all this money, and he cannot get a girl to save his life. Cannot. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes to this bar, and he's sitting down drinking with his buddy. And he goes, man, it don't matter how hard I try. I can't get a girl to love me. He's like, what you mean, man? You can't find a girl to stay with you? He said, nah, man, a girl can't love me. I ain't had no love. I ain't had nothing about a year. He said, man, you ain't got to worry about that. You got all that money, dude. All you got to do is buy you a nice boat. He said, oh, all I got to do is buy a nice boat, and they automatically come get with me. He said, well, you got to take them out in the ocean, and you get them out in the ocean, tell them, you know, put out or swim. He said, oh, that's a good idea. So he went and bought him a boat. He went out, got his boat, goes to the dock, gets out. You know, he's timid. It's his first time. He's like, hey, ladies, I got a nice boat here. Hey, y'all want to come take a boat ride? So a couple of them like, okay, all right, look at that boat. I mean, you know, he ain't all that, but the boat's nice. Come on. So he gets out there, and he does it. He goes, all right, ladies, put out a swim. So, you know, they were like, all right, cool. We out here. We on this boat. He realized it works. Now he's confident. He goes out again. Comes back. He like, come on, bitches. Boat wide with a wheel, pimp. I said, okay. One got on. They go out there. She pulls down her pants. And it is the nastiest thing you done ever laid your eyes on. She might not even be a she. You don't know what it is. It just ain't good. And she said to him, put out or swim. So he goes back and he's at the bar and he's telling his buddy. And his buddy goes, what'd you do, man? And he looks at his buddy and said, well, you ain't hear about a motherfucker drowning, did you? Oh, so that's what I think about space tourism. All right, what's our next topic?
Got a history of video games.
Oh, I like that. History of video games. Here's the thing. I am a 90s baby, right? I'm born in early 90s. You are a 90s baby. You were born in 2007. Yeah. Or something like that. So you're a 90s baby too. So like my earliest, now I have a brother who's 9 years older than me, so he played games. I remember Sega. Sega was kind of first. For me, you know, the Sonic. I remember just football, looking at football. It was just like dots on a field. The first Grand Theft Auto. I don't even remember what that was on. Maybe it was on the first PlayStation, but I don't even think so. And it was a kind of like a sky view where a skyscraper would be at. It would be like a video camera up there, kind of. And it's just like you just see this dot moving to do different missions. Now you look at it, it's like real life. When people go swimming, you can see the water fall off the shoulder. Like, what is happening here?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't remember, like, what our first console was. I do remember we had, like, the original Xbox. My dad had it. And
shout out to yo daddy. He taught me Ninja Gaiden when I went over to your house. Ninja Gaiden and MX versus ATVs. He was a gamer and made me love games.
Yeah, that I can't really remember what we did on the original, but I remember we got the 360. Our big thing was we got every Need for Speed ever made.
Most wanted. Best one of all time.
I don't know, man. I love me some Carbon, bro. Most Wanted's another. Like, the 2005 like Most Wanted. Not the new one.
No, I'm talking about the 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got to remember, like, for me, that was, like, you know, I'm 2005, so I guess I'm 12 in 2005. So I probably get the game when I'm 11, and I don't know much about cars, and this is kind of your introduction to cars. And I was born and raised in the hood, so we already didn't like police anyway. So now you get to run from people and get the nicest cars. And the guy was like, ha-ha, this is what you call made it.
Oh, yeah. Nah, we played that. I played mostly car games. I kind of had a little sheltered life, you know what I mean?
A little?
Yeah, a little bit. Never got Xbox Live, so like Call of Duty, everything like that, that really wasn't very big to me.
So until you missed I got a good older. Part of your childhood, what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Everybody knows about the Xbox Live days, okay? It was a time to be alive, for sure. I thought I knew how to talk shit until Xbox Live came out. And then you better really be on your toes. Like I could talk shit. I just had to be a lot quicker about getting there.
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, we go to our buddy's house, stuff like that, in the Modern Warfare 2, the original Modern Warfare 2 lobbies.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Those were insane.
Gears of War.
Oh, Gears of War. Mm-hmm. Shit, what was that big one?
Halo?
I never really got into Halo.
I was all over original Xbox for sure. Halo was the thing for the original Xbox. You know, PlayStation always had the upper hand. They always had the exclusives, right? You know, they had the Spyros and they had the Ratchet and Clanks and they had the things that you could not get because they were Sony exclusive. So that was Xbox's first thing, was Halo. So that was their prized possession, you know, the Master Chief. And then from that sprung, you know, the Call of Duties and things like that. It was crazy. I remember, I guess the first real game I remember, I was 5, maybe, and my uncle would play Doom on the computer. And literally, like, it was just like these monsters and this arm that you could see with a different gun that was bouncing around at all times, running around, shooting things. So then I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. What is this? You know, and you're kind of instantly hooked. But I think it's taken a turn. Like, things have gotten so real now. Like, my kids, they can't get off of video games.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, you know, nowadays, I got a next-gen Xbox. But, you know, I built a PC. And, dude, it's crazy what you can do on a PC. I can play any game you can. Right. But then you start getting into mods. So, like, take Red Dead Redemption 2, right?
Yeah.
Like, huge game. Fun as shit, right? Great game. Then you put mods in it, and you just do stupid shit.
Can you, like, drive cars in the game with the horses and shit?
Bro, you can put... I could put a damn plane. Amazon fucking delivery truck in there and drive around.
Just run over dudes on horse and buggy.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's crazy. You know, like, it's like all revolver, like old Westerns.
Yeah.
I got, like, ARs and Glocks and shit. I mean,
things have gotten so... They're almost out of control now.
Oh, dude, know? I had that Harry Potter game that came out, Hogwarts. Yeah. You can replace your wand with a damn Glock.
Right? Just run around and shoot people.
Oh, bro, it's crazy.
That is amazing. Yeah, the history of video games, how far it has come.
But, like, you talk about the realism of it, you can make it so much more realistic on a PC. Like, you can play...
For sure.
You know, everybody in the world has been waiting for Grand Theft Auto 6, right? Well, dude, you can
Me
put
included.
So many... Oh, dude, you can put so many mods on 5 that it's... I can put shaders and graphics and this and that. Like, a lot of times, like, you see people like, Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer, that's 5 with mods.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it a bunch of times before they actually dropped the real ones. They were coming out with them all the time. And, like, they got so real that Grand Theft Auto had to come out and say, this is not us.
Yeah.
Because people were like...
They might should hire those people.
For real. Look at video games. The history of video games. We're just talking about realism. You know, growing up, it was always like, you get off them video games. That ain't going to do nothing. That's just bad for your brain. That's just... I hate to tell y'all, nowadays people are making $100,000 a week playing video games. Yeah, I said it, a week playing video games. You can't fathom the amount of money in these games nowadays.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy. I tell you what, man, I didn't want to go to college, but my mama would have known that them streamers be making that money. Maybe she would have let me have them Xbox Live days, you know?
You know what I'm saying? Ain't no doubt about it. And I think a lot more parents would have. Hindsight's 2020, but I love the way I grew up. I liked the game. I didn't love the game. I would play the game when I was too hot from playing outside. So that would last about 17 minutes, which was my attention span. And then now it was on to the next thing, and I was back outside to find another adventure. So the games helped me in between or at night when I couldn't go outside anyways.
That's how you grew up. You got to remember.
Exactly.
I grew up in a rural park. I have no kids in my area, and I'm an only child.
Yeah. So you're inside all the time.
Yeah. So like I'm inside with nothing to do, nothing to play, nobody to play with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So like Xbox Live's great. Dude. I can hop on, play with my buddies, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's fun. I mean, I know whenever we used to work on the road and we'd be apart from each other, we hop on damn Warzone.
Yeah.
And it was like hanging out with your cousin, you know, bullshitting, talking, and playing the game. It was always fun.
It was always fun, yeah, because it was not only competitive, not with you in particular, but as a whole to be competitive to win the game. But then also it was like catching up. No matter how far away you were, it was like we were always right next to each other because, you know, we're on these same headphones now. We're just talking into a podcast. It's probably where some of this inspiration came from, you know, as to where before we spent years just apart from each other playing the game with a lot of our cousins and a lot of our friends and a lot of people that we met, coworkers and brothers. And I mean, you know, the list goes on and on of how much it has taken off. So that was a great one. History of video games. Fuck yes. Number three, please be just as good.
Ooh, I don't know about that. Psychology of decision making.
And that concludes our show. Thank you for psychology of decision making. Well, that's a good one. I could probably talk shit about anything, but I like this topic because I, as much as I'm not from a background of it, I am full-fledged sales. I love sales. Some might say I'm the best there ever was. Others might say I'm just good at it. I'm the only one that would say I'm the best there ever was. I truly believe I could be one day, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. Anyways, for real though, I do love that because the psychology of decision making, right? Is that's mm-hmm. the so yeah. That goes a lot into sales, but it goes a lot into life. What people don't realize, what I had to realize too, because we're not a background in sales, right? Is when you get into sales, that this kind of thing, if you really play it right and you really understand and care about it, it's not necessarily trying to change somebody's mind state. No, it's just a way that you should live of positivity, and that also breeds people kind of, you know, the decision making going into, okay, people will do things that they trust easier, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is kind of going to play into me. You know, my job, we do like accident investigations, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we employ like 7 principles of like why people make decisions, you know? And one of the main ones, like first one is context influences behavior. Mm-hmm. Another one is like people are rarely, if ever, malicious. Nobody wants to make a bad decision.
Yeah.
Let's say if they do, why did they? Did they do it just to say fuck it? Or was there something else? What led them to this path? It's easy to sit on the outside and be like, I would have done this and I would have done that. Or, you know, why didn't they do this? Or why didn't they do that? It's really easy to sit on the outside looking in. But like whenever you're there in the moment, well, it was raining, you know, so we didn't go do this, even though we should have. I mean, you remember doing like line work and that kind of stuff, like a gate. Who wants to get out and get the gate?
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants to, especially if it's raining. So, like, if it's a little closed or a little open, I might try to bump with the truck because I don't want to get wet.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Now you mess the truck up or something. I was like, why you do that? Oh, dude, it was raining. I don't want to get wet. Da, 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 da.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot more, like, backstory to why people do things they do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of it is also emotion. I think emotion plays a big, right? Because why do you not want to get the gate, right? Well, if you're in a group full of guys, not only maybe it's raining, right, but usually how it works when you're in a group full of alphas is the lowest man on the totem pole gets the gate. So a room full of equals who are all manly men don't want to hop out and get this gate, really. You know, they're like, well, where's the grunt? You know, that's kind of how they think of it. So, you know, there's a lot of that that goes behind it. You know, ego's a big thing. Emotion's a big thing. And just like you said, you know, I completely agree. I do think, however, there is a way to positively sway people's decision making, like the psychology behind it. Have you heard of this book? It's called The Nine. I don't want to mess this up. I want to say it's The Nine Laws of Power.
48 Laws of Power.
Is that what it is? Oh, look at you go. 48 Laws of Power. Yeah. So I had a buddy who told me about this, and he dove deep into it. And he's one of the best salesmen that I ever knew. he took it a little too far. He was like, you can control the mind. But I mean, he was a technician on the sales floor. If you talk to him in a friendly setting, you would think, well, some people would think, oh man, you know, he's not well educated. He isn't a good person. He doesn't know what he's doing. Don't follow in his footsteps. And then you see him around a customer, and it is a complete 180. You'd never know. He doesn't sound the same. He talks with elegance. His vocabulary is, I mean, abundant on how he can elaborate exactly what he's trying to explain to you. And that's exactly what it is. But his way of doing that is by becoming a chameleon, right? So maybe he wants you to think he's dumb. So that's how he acts to you. But then when it's time to be serious and the smartest guy in the room, well, he's been that guy the whole time.
Yes. Psychology of decision making.
So he uses his persuasion to, you know,
influence somebody,
to influence your decision making. Exactly. And he's one of the best I've ever seen. You know who I'm talking about. There's just there's two letters for him. We call him JK, baby. Oh,
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, JK. Now, he is amazing at what he does. But then again, I will say, though, it depends on the person. You know what I mean? So, like, obviously.
Depends on the person for who?
No. Like, well, for anything. I'm just saying, like, you're trying to persuade somebody's opinion, right? Speaking elegant and da-da-da-da, that's not going to get – it's going to work for most, but some people not. You know, like, you get your old farmer, old man, he don't want to hear you talk proper. He just wants to know what he wants to know and get on out of there. So you have to adapt in your way, kind of like the chameleon thing. I agree with what you're saying. He is a chameleon.
That's exactly what – because the country – man, this is not a white guy, okay? Let me just say that. But I have seen one of the most racist things I've ever seen in my life happen right in front of my eyes. And this individual being who this individual was, I expected the same way I would have acted. Irate if somebody would have been racist to me. He was a customer and he was like 80. And I guess he just didn't know any better. But this guy who said it to him, one, had no idea he was saying anything racist. And everybody else who's in the group reacts to JK as if he's going to do something. And JK, with the coolest, calmest I've ever seen anybody, goes, they're doing great, brother. It's right this way. And he brings him into the building. And he comes back out of the building. And my first words to JK is, how did you not punch this man in the mouth? Because I would have. And he said, that man just paid my, and he put his hands up in quotation and said, Bush babies, $10,000. He can call them what they want as long as he keeps feeding them filet mignon. And that is the mentality, dude. That is the ultimate chameleon. And that man right there, that's how you can persuade anybody to come to any fucking decision. you know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, he was definitely a master in his craft. I will say, though, that knowing JK personally, he didn't take anything like that lightly.
No,
like,
he's a real individual.
You couldn't even joke about that kind of stuff around him. You know
absolutely
what I mean?
Like, not, because it's not funny.
Right, it's not funny. You know, like some guys, they get a little close, and they're like, it was straight. You can joke. JK was fucking laughing or joking all the time.
All the time.
But not about that.
You don't say shit like that.
Nah, nobody was allowed to say anything
like
that.
You don't say shit like about his kids or about racism to nobody, and he doesn't do it either.
No, he doesn't.
He's funny as can be. He picks fun at everybody, but he will not do it in that way. So he's a very respectful man. He's going to say something and do something in a way that if it comes back to him that same way, he's okay. But he's not out here trying to attack mamas who ain't alive or nothing like that. He's not trying to hurt you as a person. He is trying to poke fun of you and make you have fun as an individual while you're out there on that hot-ass car lot looking for the next person to pull up and say hello to see if you can help them to find a new car of their dreams.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He was, like I said, we're a master of his craft. I don't know where he's at, but I hope he's doing good.
I hope so, too. Shout out, JK. That was an awesome three-word new non-segment from this nonsense podcast.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Relative Nonsense. Hope we see y'all kind of every Tuesday from now on, as long as this thing keeps going the way it's going.
Sure.
Any questions, it's saywhat@relativenonsense.com. Yeah, if you got any questions for me, LathHarlow@relativenonsense.com. Any questions for this guy, Tristan Harlow@relativenonsense.com. Good night.